Good morning and welcome to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. The Kanes will take you on an exciting exploration that will open the door to living in the moment. Now, here are your hosts, Ariel and Shia.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
Good evening. Wherever you are on our most lovely planet, I'm Ariel.
I'm Shia.
And perhaps if you look around, the planet does not look quite as lovely if you have a lot of clutter that has collected around you, because clutter collects clutter.
It really does.
But welcome to being here. We'll get into the theme of the show in a little bit. A few things to let you know.
We finish each other's sentences.
And we're not going anywhere.
Really?
No, we're being here, hence the name of the show.
Oh, cool. I like that. We're not trying to fix them or change them?
Mm-mm.
We're not trying to make them better in any way?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
That should be good.
Maybe good, maybe not. I don't know.
Well, I remember back when my desk was perpetually cluttered.
Yes.
And I held it as a problem. I was in the problem-solution framework. And even though our lives had transformed, that aspect of my life had not.
Well, my question is, should we talk about listening?
Sure.
Before we talk about your cluttered desk?
Why not?
Because if we don't, our listeners may get lost listening to their thoughts about what's being said rather than listening, which will pull them into the current moment of their lives. And as a byproduct of listening to the show, their life could transform.
You mean they might get lost trying to figure out how to fix this problem of clutter?
Which isn't the problem, it's just a fact.
Right. Well, listening is a dynamic skill set where you actively hear what another person has to say.
Where you intentionally engage in what they're saying to hear it, not to see whether you agree with it, not to see whether you disagree with it or already know it, but to hear what they're saying.
And, you know, particularly in the case of this show, you do not need to hear anything and then apply it to your life.
Because our technology does not include working on yourself. It does not include trying to figure out what a better you would be and then pressuring yourself to get there.
In fact, our trademark is instantaneous transformation. If you see something, the transformation is instantaneous. You then do not need to go apply it. Your actions will be reflective of the transformation that has already taken place.
And when transformation takes place in a unique moment. And so to apply what worked once to to a new situation will be out of sync with the new situation. Each moment of your life is a unique opportunity to discover how to be where you are. But most of us have a pressure on us to get to what we think is more important than what we're up to in the current moment. It's really a travesty that people waste their lives trying to get to that better place rather than live their lives in current time. Listening, just listening to what a person says without your internal commentary going off on it. With, you know, if you hold that internal conversation in abeyance, that means you set it aside temporarily because you can pick it up afterwards and just let what's being said come in. That's enough for your whole life to transform. I know it's too simple. No drugs involved. No therapy. So sorry. However, it works. Really works.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
So back when my desk was perpetually cluttered, Shia shared with me a couple observations he had about how I was approaching my desk, because I was capable and practiced at having every other aspect of our home and our business be uncluttered, but my desk itself frequently had piles of things to be attended to. And important that I didn't put forward my theories for why I had this, quote, problem, because my theories that I had never solved it.
Can I stop you here for a moment? You know all those theories about why things don't work in your life?
If they were correct,
if they were accurate, things would work perfectly. So maybe your theories about why you're screwed up, if you have a theory that you are inaccurate. Maybe there's another possibility.
The first thing is, however it is that you are organizing things is perfect. It is exactly how you've been organizing things.
And how you want it organized.
You know, clutter is not a good thing or a bad thing. It's just a thing. As you may know, if you've been listening to the show for a while, Shai and I like to fish, and we fly fish. And I have a number of world records.
Two, at least, of which were caught off of the debris slick on the ocean.
So, meaning that I have caught the largest fish in that species on a fly rod, caught by a woman.
Ever?
In the world. And we once came upon a debris slick out in the ocean, and the Dorados in particular would be underneath this debris slick looking for smaller fish that were hiding in the shade of all of the garbage that was
floating out there.
So I definitely have the idea that garbage slicks out in the ocean are a, quote, bad thing, good thing, bad thing, I don't know. But of course, the fish did not. It created a whole ecosystem. So if you can set aside your
judgmental nature
about the clutter in your life, it's going to make it far easier for you to take a look at this in a non-judgmental way.
In a more objective way. You know, our approach is very scientific. It's really about looking at what is, not what you would prefer. It doesn't have any guilt or shame attached to it. You're not a bad person if your house is cluttered. I mean, you know, you're normal.
Yeah.
And you're not a good person if your house isn't cluttered.
What you resist, don't like, don't want,
persists. It grows stronger.
Second thing is, the amount of clutter you have right now in your life can only be exactly that amount of clutter. That's the second principle. Third principle is, anything you see without judging completes itself, which is indeed what happened for me. When Shia mentioned the two aspects to how I was approaching my desk and keeping it in a non-cluttered form, they were absolutely not things that I expected. And when I heard them, the moment I actually heard it, my cluttering days were over. Meaning that with these new eyes, I went and stood in front of my desk, and I was able to look at things, and stuff that was ready to go in the garbage went, things that wanted to be filed, I was able to file. And my approach to touching and handling the items on my desk have been forever transformed. It has never, ever, ever reconstituted itself to being the way it was before. And when it starts to creep in that direction, I realize I'm a little bit ahead of myself, and I can slow down and treat each item that I'm dealing with as if it's important.
Well, that's what I told you.
That's one of the two things.
Yeah, one of the two things. But one was to slow down a little bit, because you see, if you're rushing to get things over with, you never get anything
but
accomplished.
A little bit. He told me 5%. I mean, I really thought I had to do something massive. It wasn't. By the way, the full account of this is in our first book. It's Being Here book, Being Here, Modern Day Tales of Enlightenment, the sequel of which is coming out.
It is. Right.
And the sequel is Being Here, Two Short Stories of Modern Day Enlightenment, I believe. And that is with a lot of contributors. The first one was written by the two of us. And
this one has 26 contributing authors.
Mm-hmm. So just letting you know, in case you have that copy or you would like to get one, there's a chapter in there called A Cluttered Desk is a Sign of Genius.
And that was the other thing that I told her. She had to get rid of that marble plaque with the painted on a cluttered desk is a sign of genius, which she gave to her mother when she was 13.
And my mom gave it back when she retired. So, you know, I didn't have to continue the family legacy in order to be a success.
Tradition.
It was very
tradition.
Cool. Hey, we have some callers waiting. Let's take our first one, shall we?
Yeah, Greta, are you there?
Yes. Hi, Ariel and Shia.
Hi, where are you calling in from?
New York City.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
What can we do for you?
My question is, how can I move from a state of inaction to action with respect to clearing desk clutter? The only time I'm motivated to clear desk clutter is when I see a bug.
When you see a
then
bug?
Then I scream and I immediately clear the desk clutter.
Well, you can import bugs on a regular basis. That would be one way to do it. But there may be an easier way. See, I would say what I said to Ariel all those years ago, you need to slow down a little bit and be with what you're holding in your hand that you're going to throw onto that pile. And take a look at it and see how to best complete it. Now, it may be that it needs to go into the garbage. It may be that it needs to go into a file somewhere. It may be that you have to answer whatever request that piece of
document
requires from you. But if you just stay with it until you complete whatever it is, it doesn't end up on that pile.
That makes sense.
The other thing
Thank
is,
you.
Your clutter is bothering you, then why declutter?
That's an interesting question. I like that question.
Because the way you stated your question, Greta, it's like, I got this awful thing that I only take care of if there's a bug. You know, maybe it's not an awful thing. Maybe it has some value for you there.
It definitely forces me to see what's in front of me.
Well, maybe it's just the opposite of that, though. Maybe you can get lost in the conversation, I got to clean this desk up, and avoid doing all those things that might be confronting to you.
Like, I know someone, what she used to do is if there was one activity or something that she found confronting, she would generally sandwich it in a whole bunch of stuff that would be easy to handle so that it got disguised so she didn't have to deal with it. I know another lady who keeps clutter around because once in her mind, once the clutter is gone, then she has no reason to stay late at work and she might have to look at the possibility of dating. You know, there's that for me. Clutter was a romantic connection with my family. It was like something sentimental as opposed to something I no longer needed. So sometimes people keep things around because it still has value for them.
I think you're right. One time a very high-level person came to my desk, and it was pretty bare. Because I'm a techno person, so I love to put all my files in my computer. I'm not that generation where I like paper, but I felt that there was an undertone that since I didn't have paper, it didn't look like I was busy. So maybe that stayed with me.
Well, it's also possible that if that particular person was judgmental, you may have misinterpreted their judgmental nature and had it be about the clutter or lack of clutter on your desk. You know, sometimes we can register a person's way of being and then we look around to assign it to something and we're often really inaccurate.
Well, we only are accurate through what we know.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what's going on in their lives.
That's true. Okay.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome so much. Thanks for calling in today. All right. Shall we start with our next caller, even though we're very close to the end?
Yeah, let's start with our next caller.
Let's start with him. Ephraim, where are you today?
Hey, Ariel and Shia.
Hi.
I I'm calling in from beautiful Bryant Park in the middle of Manhattan.
Oh, nice.
So I apologize if there's a little background noise today.
Not bad.
We'll just consider it audio clutter.
Okay.
What can we do for
Thanks
you?
Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Well, first of all, I wanted to say that I'm still a little excited from talking to you guys just a couple days ago. We did a mini session recording, which was a lot of fun. And I find myself feeling much more capable than usual, which is what something we talked about. You shared an observation. Yes.
Ephraim, we have to go to a break, so hold on to that, and we'll stop there when we come back from the break.
And I love it. We'll describe what you were
talking about.
We'll be back shortly, everyone.
So come on back.
And don't miss
being here.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Ready to be inspired, entertained, enlightened? Let award-winning authors Ariel and Shia Kane support you in discovering a state of well-being that in the past was rarely, if ever, achieved. Now you, too, can experience Ariel and Shia's revolutionary new technology, Instantaneous Transformation, that has helped thousands discover how to have more satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com to receive free video and audio downloads and to sign up for the Kane's weekly newsletter featuring articles, inspiring quotes, and stories from real people just like you who have discovered enlightenment through the Kane's approach. Visit TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success, health, satisfaction. Now you can have it all. Ariel and Shia Kane make it easy with award-winning books that will hand you the keys to instantaneous transformation, unlocking new possibilities for health, wealth, and satisfaction in all areas of your life. Ariel and Shia also invite you to attend their fun, interactive workshops in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Experience a quantum shift in your quality of life as you connect with a vital, supportive community and discover your own greatness. The Kane's books and seminars are the perfect enhancements to their radio show, Being Here. So why not have it all? It's as easy as visiting TransformationMadeEasy.com. That's TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You're listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back. We're looking forward to the Power of Listening course that we're going to be doing in New York City toward the end of the month, October 26th, 27th, 28th. That's a Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday.
And then again in New York City in December, December 7th, 8th, and 9th. We're doing the Freedom to Breathe, which is an incredible seminar that allows you to use breath as a vehicle to pull you into the current moment of your life. It bypasses your thought process. It's a very lovely, lovely day. And then that will be followed by the Art of Being a Healer. Each one of us have a healer that lives within us. And this seminar allows you to access that healer nature that we have.
That's December 7th, 8th, and 9th, Friday night, Saturday, and Sunday. And I'm going to mention Hamburg, which doesn't happen until April, but there's an early registration discount that if you want to join us for the Freedom to Breathe, a new beginning seminar in the middle of April in 2019, if you register early, you will get either 50 euros off or 75 euros off, depending on if you're coming to both courses. You can find out about that and all of our courses, including Costa Rica, which we are doing in January in 2019, and all the details
on our website,
transformationmadeeasy.com. And by the way, as we go back to Ephraim, what he was describing is we have a podcast subscription series where people subscribe for a year, and you get in our inbox, in your inbox, a conversation that we have with an individual or a couple, as well as special articles of the month and question and answer format where you can write in a question and we will answer it. And he came to a recording for the Premium Excellence Club and was kind enough to be one of the individuals who will be
on our videos.
And what he's describing is the conversation itself, although it was short, transformed the quality of his self-expression and his ability to intersect with his life. One of the things that happens when you watch those videos, you come along for the ride. Again, you can find out more about that on our website.
TransformationMadeEasy.com.
Still with us, Ephraim?
Yep, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah. So, you had a question for us.
Right. Well, I just wanted to follow up on that. And I was, one thing that you shared with me was that an observation you had of me is that you've seen me portray myself as less capable than I am. And you asked if I had a theory for why I might do that. And I suggested that it could be that I don't want to be seen as capable, so I won't be asked to do things. And my observation after that was that I'm actually feeling more capable right now in my life than I think I ever have. And I thought of something else you've said in the past, which is that a lot of times these are ideas that we develop as younger selves or when we are less capable. And just that was really, really thrilling to me to think about.
How capable you are and that you're carrying around a story that's outdated.
Right, that it's just something that I might have created as a kid or who knows when, and that it's still controlling my life without me knowing it.
Well, it has been controlling your life, but you know, as you bring awareness to things, as you see things without judging what you see, those things tend to drop away. And so you don't have to feel that it's a forever thing, that just because at one point in your point in time, you made decisions to not be capable so people wouldn't ask much of you, that doesn't mean that has to stay that way.
And, you know, that sounds actually very typical, particularly during the teenage years or even a little before that. It's like if we show how capable we are, we might have to be asked to do the dishes or do chores or do extra work at school, or people might require things of us that as a kid you find inconvenient. Very cool.
Yeah, thank you for that. And I did want to talk about clutter as well. My wife and I have lived in our house for about 3 years, and we've watched it get more and more cluttered. And I guess I did have a theory that the amount of clutter may have something to do with how well my wife and I might be relating at the time, because so much of our clutter is sort of shared clutter. And if we're not communicating, we can't maybe figure out ways to deal with it together.
Sounds like you're putting an awful lot of pressure and weight on clutter. You know, because one of the things you failed to mention is that you and your wife have a little girl. And how old is she?
She'll be 4 in November.
you know, four-year-olds tend to be little clutter
magnets. Creators.
I mean, if you take a look at how many clothes, toys, shoes, items of amusement that she has, if you were to just magically extract those from your house,
a lot of your clutter would be gone.
Right. And so you're not going to get rid of the stuff for your child, and you're not going to get rid of your child. So it sounds like this pressure you're putting on yourself might be a little inordinate.
Thank you for lightening that up for me.
You're welcome. I mean, that being said, when you're in communication, it's probably easier to do things. But, you know, like today, Shai and I have been looking for a while at our, quote, cluttered yard, meaning we had some weeds in certain areas that we hadn't gotten to. And we had to be willing to have the weeds be there until the moment we had the
time to pull them.
You know, and we could have, quote, made time earlier, but it wasn't high on our agenda. And once we had it, we went and we did it, and it didn't take a lot of time. The more important part of that equation is to not be hard on ourselves for the things we're not doing at the times we are not doing them, meaning not to every time you look out the window go, oh, God, I got to get to those weeds. It's not a whole lot
different. I'm such a bad person because I have weeds in my yard.
It's not a whole lot different than, oh, God, I can clean my desk.
Right. That's cool. I think I've heard you suggest before also a different idea, which is if you're tired of clutter, throw a party.
That definitely has worked for us. You know, the things that took a long time to complete. If I know people are coming over, it's very easy for me to
push on through and get it done.
Because I sometimes find as I am dealing with an item that I have not yet put away, my thought process when I pick it up is similar to what it was when I put it down. And having, oh, I've got 2 hours to get this done before people come over, is a quick motivator past any thought process about, I don't know where this goes, I don't want to do this. So that's always been a really fun, supportive thing for us. Not to say that things ever get really hyper disheveled over here, except for when we come home from a trip.
Then our suitcases all explode.
And then we have the idea that we should get it done on the day that we get home within 5 minutes, but usually our energy level is not commensurate to that idea.
I know that feeling. Well, thank you guys so much for talking with me.
Yeah.
Hey, you're welcome.
Thanks for calling. All right, let's take our next caller, shall we?
Sure.
It's Christian. Where are you today?
Hey, guys. I'm in Hamburg, Germany.
Aha.
Nice to
hear your voice.
Thank you. Good to hear your voices. I'm having a question about the cluttered desk. About the
cluttered desk.
Cluttered desk. Okay.
Yes. And I could see, like, that in the last few days I've been dating someone, and somehow my desk, like my email, got more and more emails. I didn't finish things on time, or I wasn't efficient as I used to be with things.
Yes.
Like going for groceries or, doing, like, I'm self-employed, and, like, before I started dating that person, I felt very efficient. And somehow I know this feeling, like when it gets like cloud, like dusty or smoky, and then I can't see clear enough. And yes, it's like something I know from previous times.
Well, I have a question. When you start dating somebody new, and do you start living in a fantasy world in your mind about where it might be going?
Yes. Yes.
Well, that may be part of your cluttered desk. Oh, and by the way, have these fantasies ever worked out?
No.
So getting distracted by the fantasy keeps your house cluttered, and it may not be in your best interest.
You know, it's interesting. In the last segment, when we were speaking with Ephraim, and he was talking about, you know, things you put together when you're a child, you may have a schematic for relationship. Oh, when you get your relationship, all things stop and you devote yourself to that. And if you recognize that that way of relating has never led to a healthy, successful relationship, and you know that's your propensity, then you can start to manage that in yourself. You don't have to do that. In fact, when you start blowing off things that you need to do that would normally keep you feeling less needy, because if you blow off work or the potential of work, you're going to become emotionally unstable, you're going to become needy, you're going to second guess yourself since you're self-employed. If you keep doing the things that have you feel well in yourself, it's going to be a totally different base for anybody that you're dating.
Well, I always before you said that, I felt like I always saw it as a bad thing, but now I see it as I can discover something like an adventure, relating and dating.
If you hold it as a bad thing, you'll keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because what you resist persists. That's the first principle of instantaneous transformation. So if you disagree with how you're being, you'll probably continue to be that way.
Cool.
You know, yep. It's been my experience, mostly with women, that really powerful, high intensity women who have successful careers, if you want to mess up their career, just give them a relationship. Because then they focus on that relationship as if someday that's going to somehow save them from the domination of life. It sounds that it's similar for you in that you have this idea when you get a relationship, things are going to be better.
Yes, I can see it.
Well,
did I?
Yes, dear. As you know, they don't get better.
But also,
they get more complex.
Christian, one of the things, too, is to recognize that whoever this person is that you're dating, that individual was attracted to you when you were fully in your stride as a full human being, including your business.
And including your desk being crisp.
And so then when you start to blow off those things to out of survival to keep this relationship alive, you doom it. Because then you're not the person that was so attractive in the first place.
Exactly.
Yep.
Okay, hold on to that thought.
We're
going to go to a break.
We'll be back shortly. Yeah,
so you hold on to that, and we'll get back to you shortly, okay?
Yes.
All right.
So good.
Come on back, everyone, and don't miss being here.
That's what she said, and I agree. Don't miss being here.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Feeling inspired, entertained, enlightened? Would you like more? Ariel and Shia invite you to participate in their fun and lively transformational seminars that have allowed people across the globe to have highly satisfying lives without working on themselves or their problems. Join the Canes and their amazing community live and in person in New York, Germany, England, or even Costa Rica. Ready to deepen your experience of instantaneous transformation in your career, family, and relationships? Then take the leap. Register today at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Want success in every part of your life? Then join the club, the Excellence Club, the Canes online community of people bringing excellence to all aspects of their lives. Call and ask questions on Being Here, write comments on the Transformational Moments blog, and take excellence to a new level in the Premium Excellence Club. Get the newest articles, podcasts, and weekly videos, plus enlightening advice. Join at transformationmadeeasy.com by clicking on the Excellence Club. TransformationMadeEasy.com, the Excellence Club. This moment is precious, and being here for it is an idea worth sharing. So after you're done listening to the show, you can forward it to your friends and join the conversation on Ariel and Shia's Facebook or Twitter page, Transformation Made Easy. You can also connect with like-minded people by visiting a Say Yes to Your Life meetup group near you. Transformation is a communicable ease. The more you share it, the richer it becomes. Find out more at transformationmadeeasy.com.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Being Here with hosts Ariel and Shia Kane. Now, back to Being Here.
Welcome back, and thank you for being a listener to our show, Being Here. We really appreciate you, and each week we do little shout-outs to some of the city folks in the cities that have been tuning in. So today's shout-out...
Hey, thanks, folks, in Lawrenceville, Georgia.
And Quebec, Canada.
Falcon Heights, Texas.
Luzern, Switzerland.
New York City. Not familiar with that.
Mm-hmm. Hong Kong.
Not familiar with that. But we know somebody who lives there and works there.
Hey, Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
Madison, Wisconsin.
And Mataram, Indonesia.
Awesome. So wherever you're listening to the show from, thank you for being part of the Being Here Listening family. And if you want to make it easier so that you can get every single podcast and never miss a show again, you can sign up on your favorite podcast app. Makes it easy. And while you're there, may as well leave a...
Review?
Yeah, review. Makes other easier for other people to find it. So, again, thanks for listening. All right. We are speaking to Christian. How you doing, Christian?
In Hamburg, Germany.
Thank you.
You good?
I'm feeling so much. Yes, I'm feeling so good. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I love it.
Like, a little thing. Well, I had a flash in the last sentence you were saying, and I saw that I, like, it's the other person. I blame the other person I'm dating. That's how I become. But it's all me in the end, in the fantasy world.
Of course, that's brilliant, you know, what you just said. Everybody blames the other person, but it's just you. It's how you get upset and you look to see what they did and blame your upset on them, but they just are being themselves.
Yeah. So cool. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Awesome. Yeah, thanks for calling and really a treat speaking with you.
Really?
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. We have...
Lori.
Lori Holding. Where are you today, Lori?
Hi, I'm in New York City. New York.
Hey.
See, Shai said we're familiar with New York, so are you. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you. I love this show. Because I realized...
Thank you.
I really wasn't thinking about judgment attached to clutter. But mm-hmm. now that everybody else is sort of talking about how they're viewing their clutter, I definitely view my clutter as bad because I'm not my desk, my handbag, my nightstand are not always cluttered, but I find that they are when I am particularly stressed or overwhelmed. All of a sudden, all these little points in my life get crazy cluttered, you know, when I'm, overwhelmed. And I
Let's look at that for a minute because I want to look at stress and overwhelm. Stress and overwhelm happens when you are clearly resisting something.
And when you are off working on a future event rather than being where you are.
Which, for me, translated out to my desk, that sense of overwhelm happened when I wasn't actually being with anything on my desk. It was like, oh, I don't know what to do with this.
There's so much stuff here. What to do with it?
What to do with it became obvious if I actually was there for 5 seconds to look at it.
So then whichever piece of, quote, clutter, if you look at it, you know where it belongs.
So if you, whether it's what Christian was talking about, where you get preoccupied with where is this relationship going, how can I have it turned out, or you get preoccupied with not wanting something or trying to figure something.
Or you get preoccupied because you have an event coming up that's important to you and you want it to turn out perfectly, and then all your attention is way out there, and everything close in gets disregarded.
Right.
Particularly, there's lots of moving pieces, like a wedding, for instance.
Right. You hit the nail on the head. But I also feel like it, like, is a reflection of, like, some kind of insecurity, because I feel like when I'm feeling really overwhelmed and stressed, it's like I need all the stuff around me, I feel like, so that I won't forget, or I won't, it's always attached to some reason, like it will stop me from, or help me sound better, or help me remember things better, or it's like almost like I won't trust myself, so I need all that stuff around me, the paper, the notes. I mean, it reminds me a little of the notes.
You know, I find sometimes when Shai and I are handling things with lots of moving pieces, like, for instance, you know, when we work in Costa Rica, it clearly has a lot of moving pieces. There are all the people, the logistical things, the facility, the food, etc. I tend to make a list of the things that are in my head that need to be attended to. And I only make a list so that I don't have to keep them cluttered in my head, interestingly
enough. But she only puts on the list what we're actually going to do.
I never hide any wish things in there, like lose 10 pounds or exercise, you know, 3 times this week. Things that are to-dos that a better me would be doing from my mindset. It really is the things that need to be attended to and trusting that everything else would take care of itself. And interestingly enough, I don't know if this makes any sense to anybody else, but I'll just tell you one of the things that I enjoy. You know, when I start going through and I start crossing out things on the list, when the list stops getting pretty, I make a new list and I get rid of the unpretty page. And there's something about having it be very organized that way that has me want to do it. And oftentimes I don't even need to refer to the list itself. It is, when I look at it next, everything is naturally getting done. They're a tickler reminder. So I don't need a lot of different physical cues. I don't need it. But I get what you're saying. When you're feeling insecure in yourself, you want stuff. It reminds me of Cat on a Hot Tin Roof.
Oh, yeah.
In the movie that had Burl Ives in it.
And Paul Newman.
Paul Newman. As Burl Ives is dying and he's in his basement and he's talking in this Tennessee Williams play. He's talking about how you gather stuff in your life so that, because you think it's going to keep you from dying.
Right. Keep you alive longer.
Right. I get that.
Yeah. Because that's part of what you're describing. You know, you need your.
Yeah,
but this worry about how the future is going to turn out, you really don't have to worry about how the future is going to turn out. All you have to do is be where you are right now, and the future will turn out fine.
Because actually, the more you are skilled at being here, whatever crops up in your life, you are so capable to handle any of it that whatever it is, you know, worrying about potential things just saps you of your energy right now.
You know, a friend of mine is an auto mechanic, and he got some parts for my truck, and I installed them today. And they were these... struts, I guess you'd call them, that were pressurized hydraulic struts that would open and hold open the back of my Suburban truck, the back door of the Suburban truck. And it seemed so daunting to have to try to take out the old ones and put the new ones in. And I did the whole thing in under 20 minutes, and it was so easy. All I had to do is look at what needed to be done.
And listen to what your friend had said.
Yes, listen to what my friend had said, but then look and see what was needed, and it was simple. And most of the things that you worry about are mind constructs based on complexities of how to do things that you don't yet know how to do.
Or you don't have all the information in yet for how to do.
But if you look, if you just look, use your eyes, that will make everything obvious. Looking makes what's needed obvious. Thinking makes what's needed obscure.
You know.
And stressful.
I have a plexiglass, yeah. Or it's not really
plastic.
It's a plastic clear sheet. Blotter sheet on my desk, and underneath I have pictures. Like I have a really lovely picture of Shia with a butterfly, and me with a fish, and whatnot. And one of the things I have on my desk, Lori, is a bookmark I made a number of years ago with a picture, but it's got a Mark Twain quote. And I love this quote because I, like you, am somebody often driving forward to accomplish things, complete things, do things. I want things to be done well and elegantly. And this Mark Twain quote always amuses me, and I love it. It says, "Don't put off until tomorrow what can be put off until day after tomorrow just as well." And the reason I like it is...
That was a surprise ending. I did not expect
it. It was a surprise ending. Yes, because oftentimes we're pressing ourselves to do something that we either have no interest in doing, we don't have all the information yet. It's like to use a wedding example, it's like trying to plan the seating plan for the meal at the wedding when you don't have all the RSVPs in yet of who's coming. You may have a drive to get that done, but if you don't have all the components yet, then it's just a waste of your time and your mind.
Well, worrying about that will keep you from doing anything practical right now.
And because you kept using that term overwhelm, I have a feeling you put pressure on yourself to do things prior to when they're ready to be done.
Yes.
Okay.
But that's like a recent thing that I've noticed.
There's one other aspect to overwhelm, and that is you look at your whole to-do list rather than just do one piece of it.
Right.
So you're looking at everything, and it seems so overwhelming. It's a mountain of things. But if you start somewhere with anything and do it to completion and then do something else, pretty soon your to-do list is withered down to gone.
If we use weeding our yard as an example, in my mindset, if you're going to weed, you weed the yard. Our lives were not set up for that. If we weeded, we had a 20-minute window here or a 30-minute window there. And so we would do it completely in that window.
In one little area.
And get that done to completion. But in my mindset, if you're actually decluttering the yard,
you got to do the whole thing.
The whole thing. And then because I didn't have time to do the whole thing, I would do nothing.
And that's overwhelming. Yeah. you look at all of it, you say, "I can't get all this done," so you don't do any.
So whether it's a phone call or a piece of paper, you know, one thing done well is one thing done well.
And one thing done well is the beginning of everything done well.
Right. Yeah. I love when you said before to have a party. Earlier,
yes.
You spoke to one caller and said one way to get your place cleaned up is to have a party. Because
right.
On this radio show, like, I cleaned up my desk to be on this show. So it's like, you know, it was great. I just thought it was a great analogy or metaphor.
You know, you need something, Laurie.
And actually a motivation.
I love it.
Laurie, you know, I wish you could see you through our eyes.
You are so fantastic.
Okay. That's right.
And also what you were doing.
But she disagreed with you when you said that.
I know, but we don't have a lot of time left, so I can't argue with her. But one of the things you were actually demonstrating is that when you bring your awareness to anything, it becomes easy. So it's not like you cleaned your desk. It was like you brought your awareness to clutter begets clutter. You looked. There were things to do. You did it before this show. And that's how easy it can be.
Yeah.
Although we do have a friend who recently told us how he got rid of his junk mail was piling it on the stove because he realized if he wanted to eat, he would have to go through the junk mail. But he did mention that in the time frame it took him to sort it, he ate a lot of salads.
That's funny.
Oh, God. Really?
Yeah, well, anyway, your show helped me declutter and helps me in so many ways. I love it.
Thank you so much. Speaking of which, feel free to go up on whatever podcast app you listen through and leave a review. It's cool. Then people know what's possible.
Okay. Right.
Excellent.
Thank you, sweetie. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Hey, we have reached the end of our show, my dear.
Yeah, we have. You know, if you're enjoying being here, share it. Transformation happens when you share it with others. So whether it's in person, inviting people, or inviting yourself to our courses or online, you know, thank you. We are going to be back next week. Next week's show is It's Never Same Old, Same Old. It's going to be a great show. So thanks for being with us.
So,
we'll be back next week.
So come on back.
And don't
miss being here.
We hope you've enjoyed today's episode of Being Here. If you would like to learn more about instantaneous transformation, visit the Canes website at transformationmadeeasy.com. Be sure to tune in next Wednesday for another empowering episode of Being Here.